Each and every one a warm welcome to the gospel meeting tonight. Glad you're able to spend this short time with us, this hour of the gospel tonight. Now I'd like to read a few portions from the Word of God, and beginning in Romans chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now, I would like to, with the help of God, tell maybe near the end of my message a little bit how God saved me. And but I'd like to leave with us a simple message. And it's a message that really I believe that every gospel message should be based on. And it's an old acronym, and it's been used many, many times. And I want to speak tonight about man's ruin, and I'd like to speak a little bit about God's remedy, and then I'd like to speak a little bit about man's responsibility. So those are three very foundational thoughts concerning the gospel meeting here tonight. So I just want to read Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and 23 says this: "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'd like to read that again. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now over to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. And reading at verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'd like to read another verse over the Gospel of John in chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 36. John 3 and verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now I just want to read a verse over in Romans chapter 10. Back over to the book of Romans chapter 10. And I can sing that little chorus that we oftentimes sing with the children in Sunday school, Romans 10:9 is a favorite verse of mine. That's the verse that I got saved through. Romans 10:9 helped me in that dark day of my life. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised me from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just the other day at work, I had a phone call that was passed to me, and I was kind of wishing it really didn't come to me, because it really didn't have much to do with the side of work that I do. But nevertheless, the customer on the end of the line was asking me, he's looking for some parts for a pump. And we sell a lot of lubrication pumps, from a little 2-liter reservoir to a reservoir for perhaps a ton or ton and a half of grease or oil, either one. And so there's, as you can imagine, a wide variety of pumps that are available. And this customer said to me, he says, I need some parts for this pump. And he started to tell me what he was looking for, and it was awful hard in my thinking to try to narrow down what he was really talking about, you know, because he wasn't really explaining himself. So finally I said to him, I said, what's the model of the pump? And so he told me the model of the pump. And then he started to go on and tell me the parts that he needed. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I says, I have a manual, and I'll send you a piece of the manual that tells you all the parts of the pump. And I says, and you can tell me the part number that you require. And you know, that just took all the guesswork out of the whole situation. And you know, that is, I was just thinking in relation to the gospel meeting tonight, just to, as a starting point in my message, I want to tell you that that customer, he was able to zero in, and he was able to find out exactly what he needed for what his requirements were. And you know something? I just thought that that is just like God. And he has given us a manual that can tell us everything that we need. And you ever seen that manual before? It's right here in our lap tonight. It's God's Word. This is something that is so important to our life. It is something that is so simple. It looks so complicated. It looks so thick. And it's written in that strange old English language, and it's hard. Some people would think it's so hard to understand, but listen. It is so valuable to your soul. And God hasn't given us something that's hard to understand. You know something about that manual that I was talking about? There were some words in that manual that I couldn't understand whatsoever. But you know, I was able to lead the customer right to the spot that he needed. Why? Because it was really so simple. You know, God's salvation is the same way. God's salvation is a simple thing because God's word isn't complicated. And so that's why I want to get started tonight with just my three simple thoughts. About man's ruin, I want to speak about God's remedy, and I want to speak about man's responsibility. See, the Bible is very clear. It doesn't give us a whole lot of, we could have gone to different verses that tell us basically the same thing, but I wanted to just go to one tonight in Romans 3:23. It is so plain, and it is so simple, and it cuts out all the gray areas. And it gets right down to where you really need it. What's it tell us? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what does that mean? That just means that every person that lives on planet Earth was really born on this broad road that we have here in this chart here tonight. We're born on this broad road and it's leading down to destruction. That's the way we were born. We didn't hibernate or come onto that broad way by some other way because we were bad, but we were born that way. Every last one of us. There's everyone in this meeting and everyone in the town of Sussex and the whole region and the whole world. Because this verse tells us, the manual is telling us tonight, that all have sinned. We were born that way. We were born, Psalm chapter 51 tells us that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. Did you ever ask yourself the question, and if you, those that are parents tonight and have had children, why is it you don't have to teach the kids to be bad? Like, it just seems to come out of them. Like, it's just a natural bent. And that's the very truth. Well, this verse is telling us tonight that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has a standard for those who are going to be in heaven, that here is the standard. And every person that is born in this world is going to miss it. Going to miss the standard if they don't get God's remedy. So the verse tells us very clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every one of us has sinned and we've been born that way. There's nothing that we can do. And I should say, really mention, there's all kinds of help yourself situations, and we can try to, and people try at the beginning of the year, in January, perhaps they'll say, well, I've really been, they look at last year and they reflect and think, boy, we've really made quite a mess with that, and probably should try to do a little bit better. We should be a better husband, maybe we should be a better wife, we should, as children, maybe, we try to do better, try to do what mom and dad tells us, we'll try to make our beds and all that kind of stuff, and all those things that we try to help ourselves, but that doesn't really matter what we try to do, because every one of us have sinned. And no matter how hard we try to do better, as far as God is concerned, we're sinners. We were born that way. And we sin not because we're bad, but we sin because we're sinners. So here is, it's quite a situation as we look back in Genesis chapter 3 at the very beginning. As God had created the world and the earth and all that was formed and all those things, and then Genesis 3 tells us that sin entered into the world. In fact, Romans tells us that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The same message is coming to us no matter where we look at the scriptures, that back in Genesis chapter 3, there was something that by man's disobedience that Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit, that because they had done that, because they disobeyed God, the whole human race started on that broad road leading down to destruction and the lake of fire. So here's what God has done. God has made a provision there way back in Genesis, provided the heavens and the earth for people to populate the earth, and here the very first people that lived there disobeyed God. And the whole human race, the whole world, was cast into sin. We see the results of sin today in the world around us. It's difficult to see men and women rising up against one another, and the wars and rumors of wars and all the hatred that is so rampant in the world around us. To think of how that God had made such a perfect creation, and yet sin has come and ruined it. Man's ruin. But you know, there's something that is so thrilling to consider as we can think of the ruin of man. Now that every one of us are painted with the same brush, that all have sinned. Even from the very youngest to the very oldest. From the very person that is on the very bottom rung of society, as it were, to the very best person that we can look to in the world around us. As far as God is concerned, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we read there in Romans chapter 5, a verse that is very thrilling. And it starts out with that word, but. Because of man's ruin, God acted. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why, it's thrilling oftentimes for those of us that are believers to often at Christmas time and we hear the Christmas carols sung and we come to an understanding of the birth of the Lord Jesus coming into the world. And now it thrills our hearts to think that God would send His only Son into this world. But you know something? Just to follow that thought further, you have to stop and ask yourself why. Why did God send His Son? Why did the Lord Jesus come into this world as that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger? You see, the very root of the cause of this verse that we've read, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, because that we were the vilest of sinners, because that we were on that broad road that leads to everlasting destruction, because that we were, as we were born on that broad road, God is commending His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the remedy that God has for ruined sinners, that Christ has died for us. Am I to think that there 2,000 years ago on Calvary, or through the streets of Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus came, and how that He sought to do mighty miracles and to heal those that were sick and those who were blind and those who were lame, those who were lepers and those who were so ill and those who were full of demons. And the Lord Jesus would come and He'd heal them. Those who were sick with fevers, He was able to lay His hand upon them and just lift them. And immediately, the power of the Lord Jesus was His so that those sicknesses and diseases would flee from Him. But you know, the Lord Jesus didn't come to... He did heal the sick. He did give sight to the blind. He did heal the lepers and did all those things. But why did the Lord Jesus come? Why did He come? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus was that one that was taken out through the streets of Jerusalem and taken out to the cross of Calvary, and there He was crucified. Why was He crucified? Why did the Lord Jesus die at Calvary? Why was He suspended upon that awful Roman gibbet? Christ died for us. Well, we all can understand in some measure, we have perhaps painted in our minds an awful crucifixion scene. But you know, I don't want to paint a gory picture because it's an awful thing. But I want to say something. That when the Lord Jesus was suspended upon the cross, the scene was clothed in darkness. The Bible tells it from the sixth to the ninth hour, there's darkness over the whole land. And during those 3 hours of complete and utter darkness, God punished His Son at the cross. And He punished His Son for sin. The sin of the whole world. God, who knows everything, laid upon His only Son the punishment that was due to the whole world. Friend, listen. That is a remedy. You know, when you think of remedies, you often think of cold remedies and that kind of thing, Buckley's mixture and all those kind of things that you might take to try to help. But listen, this is something that'll fix the problem of sin. Man's ruin can be absolutely made like gold because of what Jesus done at the cross, because of what He suffered there in those hours of darkness, not the suffering that He was inflicted by mankind, although gruesome and often times it is painted. But friend, I want to just to explain to you so very clearly, if God would help me, to think that there at the cross, in the darkness of Calvary alone, He could cry from that awful place, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why he was forsaken? He was forsaken by to account for your sin. He was bearing the punishment of your sin and my sin there at the cross. So we have man's ruin. And we feel so inadequate to tell you about God's remedy. But you know something? It is so important to understand that we are ruined. And it's so important to understand that there is a remedy. But friend, we would miss the mark tonight if we didn't tell you that you have a responsibility. Because God, we can understand that we don't have to tell ourselves, really, that we're sinners. It's just written all over our face. The things that we do and the things that we say, as far as God is concerned, what this manual tells us tonight, that we're sinners. And that God has a remedy for sin. He can make the darkest sinner as white as snow. But the thing of it is, friend, the responsibility is up to you. What are you going to do with this all-important message? What's the message? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Friend, listen, the invitation is for you to understand your deep need of God's salvation. To understand that there is one that has paid the sin debt in full. The debt that was yours against the God of heaven has been paid. And all you need to do is trust him. All you need to do is believe upon him. You know, that's something that was so important to me. Because it's been, this July will be 40 years ago that I got saved. It doesn't seem that long. 40 years ago. And I was raised in a home where my mom and dad would be sure that all four of us children were in a meeting just like this every Sunday night. And if there's special meetings through the week, we'd be there every night. Mom and dad understood that we were all sinners. And my mom and dad also understood this one important thing, that God had a remedy. The thing that really drove them, the thing that really spoke to their hearts, was the fact that each child had the responsibility of understanding their need and understanding the provision that was made for them. So they'd done everything in their power, if you want to say it that way, to be sure that we understood where we stood before God. Well, it wasn't much to tell. You didn't have to convince me any that I was a sinner. And you know, the times that Mom and Dad, every morning we'd get up before we go to school, the Mom and Dad would get our Bibles and we'd read a verse, read a chapter of the Bible every morning before we go to school. And you know, we come to understand that there is a remedy for our sin. And somebody might say, well, you probably got saved when you were young, didn't you? I said, no. I'm ashamed to tell you that I went for 21 years before I got saved. I turned my back against God for 21 years, understanding that I was a lost sinner, understanding that God had a remedy, and the remedy was free. All I needed to do was to believe on him and accept him. And for 21 years, I said no. You know, it's a wonder that I ever made it that far. To know all that truth and to know all that reality and never doing anything about it. The responsibility that I had, I turned my back on. After a number of circumstances that came into play into my experience, just prior to when I got saved, just kind of brought me up short to understand, listen, I got to, an announcement was made and that there were going to be special gospel meetings in St. Thomas, just outside the city, during the summer. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, well, maybe I'll get saved during those meetings. And the first week went by, and, you know, I thought being saved was because I knew all about it. I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that Christ died for sinners, and I just kind of thought there would just be a kind of a connection made, click, you know, it would be all over and said and done. You know, it would be easy to do, because you know all about it. You just kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together, and you'll get the feeling, and you'll be saved. That's just a lie of the devil. That's what that was. And for a couple of weeks during those meetings, going to those meetings every night, listening, wanting to be saved, and knowing that I needed to be saved, and wanting to be saved, and still nothing, I wasn't any step closer. And it just came to this situation where I knew that these meetings were going to come and they were going to go, and I was going to be just like I was before, lost in my sin. And judgment was ahead of me. One day, Mr. Patton, he's one of the speakers that was had those meetings. He came to visit me where I was helping my dad. We were tearing down a building in St. Thomas, just very long on 125 Elm Street, just up from the hospital a ways. And we're tearing down this old building and taking it back to the farm and going to put it up as an implement shed. And I was working away, and I was just at the end of myself. I says, boys, And Mr. Patton come to see me. And he said, Dave, he says, how's it going? I said, well, I said, I just don't understand. I just can't seem to make any head nor tail of this. It's all black. And just the way I felt, it was just all black. I couldn't figure it out. And so I asked him, I says, Mr. Patton, I says, when you got saved, I says, did you know it, you know? And oh, yes, he said, I knew exactly the moment I got saved. So anyway, he went on to tell me, he read this verse to me, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he went on to tell about different things, what that verse meant to him, but you know, I just seemed to, almost as if I tuned him out, if you want to say it that, just that way, because I was just kind of trying to understand what this verse was telling me. And here's the way that the verse came to me. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you know this the way I come to this understanding? That when God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, that he was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus had done at the cross. When the Lord Jesus died at the cross, he bore my sin, and God was happy about that. Like, God was satisfied. In other words, that the Lord Jesus paid my debt in full at the cross. And if I just believe that, the verse tells me I'm saved. Well, do you know something? I said, well, that really can't be that easy. And that's when I asked Mr. Patton, I says, did you know when you got saved? Oh, yes, he says, I knew exactly that I got saved. Well, you see, I'd been wanting to be saved for a long time, and I just kind of thought that I would almost have this feeling, that I would feel this warm, fuzzy feeling inside that I would know that I was saved. But you know something? I never got that feeling that day, and I've never had it till tonight either. I'll tell you this one thing. This Bible tells me that if I believe what the Scriptures told me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's that verse tell me? If I believed him, I'm saved. And that's what I'm relying on for eternity. I didn't see any flash of light. I didn't get any warm feeling, but what I know is this manual told me that I was saved because of what Christ has done at the cross.